Some people say, I would climb, I would swim the deepest ocean just because I love you. You know, I can't think of in my own life what is the craziest thing I ever did for love, but I can think about something else Leslie did that was crazy for love. You guys will probably think she's nuts. She married me. And it's even crazier than that, okay? So, I think it was, we were married in 2003, so in 2002, September 29th, September 30th, I took her out for this romantic dinner. We went by the Coeur d'Alene beach, it's got the perfect sand, it's got the perfect water, and I proposed to her. But I had no job. I think of Scott. Like, what if Scott's going to think how nuts this is? I had no job, I had no money, and I had no ring. Don't you think she's nuts to say yes? Look at Nikki's face. Like, really? Because she loves me. But that's, you know, what love does. It goes beyond what makes sense and says, yes, they're willing to do something, even if nobody else agrees. We're going to be looking at today a crazy act of love from a gal named Mary. And we're going to be following through as another guy by the name of Eric shows a crazy act of love. And it's all because of Jesus. So first of all, Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9, a crazy act of love. First thing, a crazy act of love can be costly. It says in Mark chapter 14, verse 3, while he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of nard. She broke the jar and poured it on his head. You know, this was an expensive gift, a gift bottle of perfume. It was said to have cost, between here and John, you can find that this would cost about a year's wages, 300 denarii, which is quite expensive. And today's wages, that might equal $25,000 to $30,000 or more because of inflation, because of the time when somebody came up with that amount to what it would equal today. So we're talking about expensive, $30,000 worth of perfume, and Mary takes that and she breaks it and she pours it on Jesus's head. Now, it was a custom of that day that I learned that if someone came to your house to visit, you would take a little bit of this perfume and you would put some on them, a couple drops, if they were going to stay and visit, if they were going to eat. Now, if that's all Mary did, that makes a lot of sense. But she took it about three steps farther and she broke that bottle. I think she's showing is I'm using all of this. I am fully committed to this. There is no turning back. And she poured it on Jesus's head. And John, you find out that she poured it on his feet. And if you look at your bulletin cover, you see this, it's kind of a strange picture, but of a gal who's wiping somebody's feet with her hair. This is Mary wiping Jesus's feet with her hair. This is a crazy, costly act of love. And this was something that she chose to do. This was unprecedented. You don't read about this anywhere else in Scripture. She didn't learn this from mom to say, hey, when you find somebody that you really love, you pour perfume on them and wipe it up with your feet or with your hair. This was something she chose on her own to do. She was fully committed. She had a gift and she wanted to give all of it to the Lord. There's a guy by the name of Eric. Eric Liddell. If you're not familiar with this story, you might want to check it out by the time I'm done today. But he was a guy who had a gift, and he wanted to use it for the Lord. He was a guy who could run. He was born in 1902 to Scottish parents as missionaries in China. During his college years, he excelled in short distance runs, in rugby, and in cricket. In 1923, this guy was fast. He set the 100-yard dash record of 9.7 seconds, and that stood for 23 years. He was known as the Flying Scotsman. His sights were set on the 24 Olympics. He was known as the best athlete of his time. If they had Sports Illustrated in that country at that time, you would have seen his picture right there. This is the athlete of the year. This guy was fast, but he was also a committed Christian. He saw his gift as running. He says, speaking of what he saw as his gift, his God-given talent, he said, God made me fast, and when I run fast, I feel his pleasure. In the 24 Olympics, this guy was favored to win the 100-yard dash. And months before, he found out what the schedule of events were. And he found out when his races were to be run. He found out that the races he wanted to run were on, they landed on a Sunday. And as a committed Christian, he says, "I cannot run that race on a Sunday." He abandoned the 4x100 meter as well as the 4x400 meter relay, as they were both taking place on Sunday. He made every effort that there was to talk to the Olympic authorities to say, "Please change these races," and they wouldn't budge. So he says, "I'm not running." He says, "I can't sacrifice my religious convictions at the altar of Olympic glory." On the day when he was supposed to be running the 4x100 meter race, he was in Scotland preaching. His team came in third place in the race. You want to talk about a crazy act of love? Eric demonstrated that crazy act of love. He went against the Olympics. He went against everything that everybody wanted him to do, all because he loved Jesus. So Mary did it. She took an expensive bottle of perfume and poured it on Jesus. Eric said, "I'm not running on a Sunday." Well, you know, you might find yourself with the opportunity to do an act of love that might seem crazy to everybody else. You know, you might find yourself wanting to donate. God's called you to do this, and so you choose, "I'm going to donate a piece of property." That's going to be tough to do. Donate a piece of property to a camp. Donate a vehicle. Donate a baseball card collection to somewhere to it where it's going to ultimately use to raise money for a missionary. That would be a crazy act of love. A career move. God's called you to give up what you have right now that you're doing. And he says, "I want you to leave the comforts of your home, your stable life, and I want you to leave your 401k, your insurance. I want you to leave your family, and I want you to go sign up to Bible school because I have something that I want you to do." It might be taking a stand for something. Something that's happening in the news. Something that's happening at school. Something that's happening in your own family. And you take a stand. And it's crazy. You're excited to do this. You want to do this. But you have no idea what the outside world is going to think. And it could be costly. That's what love does. It does costly things. And it can be costly. You got to remember that. Here's my pictures that go along with the slide I didn't use. Number two, crazy love can be confrontational. Mark chapter 14, verses 4 through 5. It says, "Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, 'Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor.' And they rebuked her harshly." Nobody here likes confrontation. Nobody likes that people look cross-eyed at them or be getting a confrontation about anything that they're doing. How much worse is it with people that you love? People that you care about? People that you want on your side? It says here that some of those present, who's going to be present at this place? Well, they're at the home of Simon the leper, but this is Jesus. This is his disciples. These are followers of him who are in here in this group of people who are confronting her and saying, "You made a bad choice, Mary. I can't believe you did this." They're the ones that are giving her a hard time. They're rebuking her harshly, saying, "You could have taken this money and you could have done something better with it. You could have given money to the poor." Imagine how Mary's feeling. She's already nervous, I bet, to start with. "I'm going to do something that is kind of a little different. I'm going to break this really expensive bottle. I'm going to pour it on the head of Jesus." And she's got the butterflies and she's nervous and she does this. And then all of a sudden everybody starts looking at her like, "What? I can't believe you're doing that." She sees the whispers. She hears people telling her, "Hey, what are you doing? That was not a good move." Her heart's sinking. She's feeling like, "Can I hide now? Can I crawl into a hole? Can I get away?" She's feeling sad. She's feeling scared all of a sudden. Now, truth be told, Judas was one of the guys who was in this bunch. Judas was the one disciple who was not saved. He's the one who used to take care of the money. And he said, he's the one who's kind of ringleading this because he would help himself to that money. But everybody, other guys are involved in this. And so she's just looking at these faces like, did I just do something wrong? I can't believe. And these are her friends, the people who love her, who are supposed to be on the same side. This is Jesus. No sacrifice is too big for Jesus. But they're the ones who are telling her, you are crazy. Eric Liddell, he's supposed to run in the 1924 Olympics. Sunday morning, he's supposed to be representing his company, or his country, his friends, his teammates, his family in the Olympics, but he chose not to run because it was on a Sunday. It says that he was under immense pressure up until that time from the British Olympic Committee. That's not going to be a small amount of pressure. He faced a barrage of criticism for betraying the British cause at the Games. He's letting down his country. He's letting down his team. Shame on you. We were counting on you. You could live for in infamy in the history books. The British paper says that Liddell's absence of being unwilling to compete on a Sabbath greatly handicapped the team. Can you hear his unwillingness to help? Can you hear that being said? They're not just saying his unwillingness to help. They're saying this guy's unwillingness to help him, help this team. Do you think that was easy to live with? I'm Eric. I'm running. I'm moving to America. Right? I'm going somewhere else. I'm hitting the mission field and no one's ever going to hear from me. I'm not running. But he says, I'm going to hold my head up. You know, think about what pressure he would face in America today. You know, you would have the newspaper saying this, you know, some might call him a hero, but most people would say, this guy is crazy. I can't believe he's such a fanatic for his Christian faith. But think about the people inside the church. What are they going to tell this guy? They're going to say, you know what? You're being legalistic. There are other days that you can go to church. There are sermons online. It's not that big a deal. There's no Sabbath in the New Testament. You don't have to follow that. He would be getting all sorts of pressure from within, from people who love him, who support him, who care about him. He would be getting hit from every possible side, just like I'm sure he was then. You know, you chose to make that donation. You chose to give up that land. You chose to give up that vehicle. And you're excited. And all of a sudden, people start looking around saying, wow, so-and-so doesn't have his car anymore. So-and-so, there's a for sale sign on that plot of land. What is going on? And you're excited. You say, I'm going to donate this to a camp. I'm going to donate this to the mission. I'm going to sell this so that these missionaries and the Foxes can have their youth center. I'm going to do something. And you're excited. And all of a sudden, everybody says, you're nuts. What a dumb thing to do. I can't believe you didn't have to be that fanatical. You didn't have to give that much. Ugh. You know, you signed up for Bible school and you're brave. You hit that blast button and you typed in that credit card number and you hit send. And you start to pack. You put your for sale sign in the paper. You have the yard sale sign and people start hearing that you're moving. What are you doing? Why are you moving from Plevna or Baker or from New York or wherever it is that you're hearing this from? Why are you moving? Why are you sacrificing that much? Don't you know you can serve God here? And you can get attacked from those on your side. That can happen. It can be costly. It can be controversial. Guess what? That's why people don't do it. I want what I want, and I want everybody to like me. I want everybody on my side, and so I'm going to stay where it's comfortable. But if you're going to love God when He's calling you to do something, it's going to cost you, and it is going to be confrontational. But guess what? There's some good news in all of this. It can be commended. That's what Mary gets. Mark chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. Jesus said, hey guys, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. He says, if you're really concerned about helping the poor, like you say you are, the poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. That stands out to me. It has stood out to me every time I have read this, that what she's done is going to be told in remembrance of her. But here she is. She's done something for the Lord. She broke the bottle. She poured it on Jesus' head. Everybody's critiquing her and mad at her. And Jesus says, wait a second, guys. And Jesus defends her. He stood up for her and says, she did the right thing. You can take care of the poor. I love the poor. You can take care of them. But I'm only here for a short time. She's preparing my body for burial. And I think she knew this. Because Jesus isn't making this up. Well, I'm going to get her out of this mess. I'm going to help her look good by saying she's preparing my body for burial. I think she really knows. She's one of the few with the clue that what Jesus is saying is really going to happen. But Jesus defended her. How much better is that? All of a sudden, like, all the pressure, all the guilt is gone, and Jesus is defending me. And Mary was encouraged. Mary heard the words. Whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done is going to be told in memory of her. If I'm hearing that, the people who I don't know are going to hear about something that I did. Jesus defended me. Word's going to get out. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Jesus encouraged her. Jesus defended her. This was a crazy act of love. It's mentioned in Mark. It's also mentioned in Matthew chapter 26, verse 13. Jesus chose to reward Mary for her faithfulness. You know, Eric, he's the guy who was supposed to represent his country. He was supposed to run on Sunday, said, I'm not doing it. Therefore, he didn't get to run in those races. He was expected to win everything that he ran. Well, because he couldn't run on Sunday, according to his convictions, he said, okay, while I'm here, maybe I'll run a different race. So he chose not to run the 100 meters. He says, okay, I'll run the 400 meter. He was expected to lose. He was an underdog. He was a rank outsider. It was not his race. He had never competed in that before. Odds that he's going to win this? Not good. Just before the race, just moments before, an American handed him a piece of paper with the words from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, which reads, those who honor me, I will honor. Those who honor me, I will honor. Eric hung on to that piece of paper, and he ran that race. He set a new record at 47.6 seconds, and he got the Olympic gold. He wasn't even expected to win. He set a world record at 47.6 seconds. He also participated and won or came in place in other races. You can argue he was going to win anyway if you want to. I'm going to argue that God chose to bless him because he was faithful to do what God called him to do. That's two amazing stories. Mary dumps a perfume on Jesus. Jesus commends her. Eric runs this race on a different day because he wasn't going to go against what God wanted him to do. And they both turned out to be amazing stories. Anybody excited to do what God's calling you to do right now? I am. I'm like, I'm waiting for the next thing because I am on board. But you got to remember something. This is not a formula. This is not you do exactly what I want you to do and all of life is going to work out. There's not going to be a voice from heaven that says, this is Josh with him, I am well pleased, and everybody in Plevna gets to hear this. It doesn't mean that because I give my ability to the Lord, he's going to give me first place. This is not a formula. You may find out that when you give your... You give your talent, you give your land to the Lord, you give your car, you give that baseball card collection, everybody's happy with you. You might find out that that land was sold and the money was given to the camp and that camp flourished. You know, the camp that the kids used to go to that I was a part of as a kid was donated. It was 20 acres and this was really, really good land. The lake right there. The land right here, 20 acres of hay ground. I have no idea what that was worth. I'm not techie enough to figure that out. It had trees all around. This guy had a dairy. He had the land. And he says, you know what I want right there? I want a church. I want a Bible camp. And I want a Bible school. Now, I don't know at what point in his life he did that. Maybe he got to see some of the fruit of that. But I can only imagine, what did people think about him? Nuts. Right? Wouldn't you guys all like to have 20 more acres of hay if you have cows? I mean, wouldn't you like to have lakefront property even if you don't have cows? And that's what this guy donated for this camp. I was talking to a gal that used to work there for probably 40 years. And she says she's gone through the records, and there were at least 5,000 first-time decisions over the last 40 years. He had no idea what that was going to accomplish. That whole thing could have flopped and failed and never had a camp on it, but that's what he gave, and he was able to witness that. But you might give that car, that baseball card collection, that whatever, and see nothing. You might go to the mission field, like you went to Bible school, and you gave up everything, and you went to Bible school, and you went to the mission field. You might get to see that whole tribe come to the Lord, because those stories are out there. But you might be there after 10 years wondering, what am I still doing here? You know, I haven't seen anything. Nothing is accomplished. Who knows? You know, Eric, he ran this race. After this, in 1928, he said, I'm not going to defend my title. I'm going back to the mission field. And he got married, and he had 3 kids. 2 that he got to meet, 1 that he didn't get to meet. While he was there, he sent his wife and kids home because of the dangers, and he himself found himself in a prison camp. This is the guy who gave up everything for the Lord, who took the amazing stand for the Lord. This is where he ended his life. He got a tumor, and he died in prison shortly before everybody was released. So this is no formula. There is no guarantee that this side of heaven you are going to see anything accomplished. You might wait until death's door, heaven's open wide, and you say, oh, I'm so glad. I see now what was accomplished. But the decision you have to make is now. Am I going to show that love to Jesus now? Because when you get there, you can say, I love you all you want, but you didn't prove it by the way you lived your life. So when you give of your time, of your talents, of your, you make that move, you make that stand, everything may look glorious now, but chances are you're going to be waiting till the other side before you find out. So we have Mary's story. I'm impressed. I'm excited with Mary's story. I'm like chomping at the bits with Eric's story. I'm waiting to see, okay, God, what are you asking me to do? But why? Why would they do that? Why would I break this expensive bottle of perfume and dump it on Jesus? Why would I say it's just another Sunday? Why wouldn't I say it's just another Sunday? Why wouldn't I run on Sunday? Why wouldn't I stay in the comforts of my own home and not go to Bible school and not learn a new language and not learn a new culture? Why would I do all that stuff? What all is because of a crazy act of Jesus. We watched the video. You want to talk about a crazy act of love? There's no way that is a smart thing to do. That's insane. Getting beat and punished and scourged and put upon a cross for something you didn't do? All because of people? Nuts. But it's because of Jesus' crazy act of love for me that I should be willing to do whatever crazy act of love that He has called me to do. But the choice isn't mine. For you. You can't decide for me. We have to decide for ourselves. Mary did this because Jesus was her Lord and Savior. Eric did this because Jesus is his Lord and Savior. I hope that you are encouraged and challenged to do this because Jesus is your Lord and Savior too. Because Jesus gave everything for us, we should be willing to give everything for Him. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your love. God, I look at it and I don't understand it. I just look at myself and know that, God, I wasn't worthy of anything. I'm not worthy of your love. I'm not worthy of the sunshine outside. I'm not worthy of the air that I'm breathing. But God, you loved me enough that you sent Jesus to the cross to take the punishment for my sins so that I could have eternal life. And I am thankful for that, God. I really am. God, I don't know what you're calling anybody else in this room to do. But if you are calling them to do something, out of love, I pray that they would have that conviction, that encouragement, that motivation to do it. And God, for myself, that I wouldn't just be up here all giddy and emotional, ready to do it, but God, when the time comes, that I would be willing to do it as well. God, I pray that we would just love you with every day we have left, with every breath we have to give as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.